I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell. Mark Zeno's in for Mike. We are live at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram, guys. And you caught us in the middle of a conversation that we are going to share with both of you, or all of you, should I say.
Maybe we won't. Maybe we're just not going to tell you what we're talking about.
No, but at the end of the day, I was asking Mark, and I was just saying, for those who have missed this, and I'm going to read this for you because we were talking about it amongst ourselves. There's a lot going on, and we have a huge show. Jalen Johnson is going to join us from our Hawks. Coming up here in about 20 minutes, Hawks have Toronto tomorrow, Lakers Saturday, a tough back-to-back. We also are going to talk with Chris Henderson about the hiring of Tata Martino coming back to Atlanta United. I think Mike Conte is going to jump in on that as well. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, he is the voice of Atlanta United. And the lovely and talented Barbara Dooley joins us as she does each and every week, 4 o'clock, and Mike Griffith as well from Dog Nation. So we got a lot of stuff going on. But with that said, the rumor mill is out there. You know me. I don't start rumors. I just talk about them once they're out. And the rumor is that Brent Key's name is going to be thrown around, and he will get some interviewing opportunities with the kind of season that he has led Georgia Tech to. And so he put this out today. He was asked about his name coming up for jobs. And I want to read this to you. And this is what Mark and I were talking about before we started the show here. Did we get a hey man in there, by the way?
No, we did not.
We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man. Because Mark and I were talking about this, and I said, when you do this, you better not leave. And Brent Key came out today and said, since I came back here, he's talking about Georgia Tech, since I was named the head coach here, outside of my time with my family, every waking second of my life has gone towards building this program to get to the point that it is right now. So that in turn, we can continue 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and continue to elevate this place to be in the conversation, not to be in there for 2 or 3 weeks, but to be in there and be a consistent team. He says, not when your team loses one game and you have people say, oh, the storybook is over. He says, nah, it's just beginning. Slice me open. This is the point. Slice me open and see what colors I bleed. Now, do I believe he loves Georgia Tech?
Yeah. I'm not leaving.
Do I believe that this is a job that he's turned into a much better job since he's been there? Yes. Paul Johnson was good. I think Brent Key is doing a better job. And if he's there for the amount of time that Paul Johnson's there, maybe they compete for a national championship. I don't know. But, Zeno, when you start saying this kind of stuff, cut me open, see what colors I bleed, you're telling everybody no matter what or what's on the table potentially for you money-wise, you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little bit surprised that he said that thing. The talking about elevating the program in every waking minute, this is what I want to do. I don't debate that. We know Brent Key well. Dude, he is a workaholic. He is very, very much Kirby-like in that sense. But I don't know if I'm slicing me open and see what colors I bleed when all of these premier jobs are out there. And you said it the other day. We were talking about this. It's Dukes and Bell.
We were talking about this off air, though.
Correct. Yeah. Mark Zeno's in for Mike. And we were saying, is he going to get double his salary at Georgia Tech?
Well,
because
I don't think they have the money.
Okay, well then
that's the problem. Like, so put it this way: if you're taking LSU, Florida, Penn State, that's a $10 million a year job. You're not taking it for less than that.
Okay,
right? On the low end, nine and a half to ten. Right. So if you're Brent Key, and it's a state school, so somebody tell me what he makes real quick. What, $3.5 million a year?
It's five. Is it five?
Four. Somewhere in that range. Okay. If you're sitting there, if Georgia Tech says, we'll give you six, and you're like, really? I can get double that to go somewhere else. I mean, you know, the reality is that this becomes a math problem for Georgia Tech more than anything else. But here, $4.5 million. Thanks, Warren. So you got to get to the eight range with an extension and a bigger buyout, you know, to fire him. Like, that's what this is. And right now, Georgia Tech's got to be scrambling for boosters who got tons of money to figure out where all this dough is coming from. Like, that's just the reality of the business of college football. I'm not denigrating Georgia Tech or its alumni or its sponsor, whatever it is. That's just the reality. And football aside, we're not talking about football. We're talking about the business of college football. And those are two different things. I'll add this, though. You know, saying, cut me open and see what I bleed. Dukes, you're a UT fan.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody offered you right now $2 million a year to call Texas A&M games, are you saying no? Okay,
go,
thank
go
you.
Go Aggies.
Exactly. I mean, that's the reality of this. We all would do that.
Go Aggies.
If they offered me a job calling Mets games, there, see ya.
Right.
I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? I grew up a Yankee fan my entire life. It's the same thing. Like, the reality, that's just the reality of this situation here. It doesn't make him bleed any less gold and white at all.
Yes, but when you say that, okay, but you're saying I'm not going anywhere.
Okay,
you're
saying that
I'm
right now.
Leaving.
He's in the absence of new information. There's not an offer on the table. There's not an offer on the table in front of him.
Maybe there is.
There isn't. I can guarantee you there's not.
Maybe there's something working.
There might be behind the scenes for his agent and everything else, but the reality is that he doesn't have a piece of paper in front of him where the contract says, Brent Key, here's $12 million to go coach the LSU Tigers.
Okay.
Like that, when that happens, he doesn't stop bleeding gold and white.
No, he's a hypocrite.
No, he's not.
Because he said
no,
this.
He's not. See,
the difference with me, the difference with what you're saying about me is I've never said I wanted to go. I've never said that I wouldn't do anything. When you say these kinds of
he's
things.
He's not saying he wouldn't. That's you translating
no,
I wouldn't do it.
Slice
he's saying,
me open and see what I bleed. You're saying
that's
I'm here
never going to change.
Forever.
Hey, slice me open. I'm Italian all the way through and through. Pay me to move to Mexico. Give me a sombrero and some maracas and let's go. I mean, like, it doesn't change what he bleeds. It doesn't change who he is. It doesn't change where his loyalties
it
are.
It does when you're the head football coach.
No, come on. That's your emotions
the,
talking.
That's the, no, bullhorn.
Bullhorn. That's your emotions.
I'm telling you what's going on. When you're a football coach, you have to be aware of the idea that, you know what, something may come along a little bit better. And if I do my job here, I might need to weigh those options.
Now, again,
this is, to me, you're putting yourself
maybe,
in a box.
Maybe the underbelly of this is that he will take $5.5 million, $6 million to stay at Georgia Tech. Maybe
and then you know what? He's cheating himself.
He is, but that is his choice.
True
but
enough.
Neither one of those offers are on the table right now, to our knowledge, right?
No.
There's no offer on the table.
But to your point, knowing where Georgia Tech has been and knowing how relevant they are, they're ranked, they still have a chance to win the ACC. You're right. They should be scrambling if they already don't have this taken care of. The deal is, a lot of times this stuff is done, and we don't hear about it until after the season's finished, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how this stuff is usually taken care of. As we talk about Georgia Tech and Brent Key saying, you know, hey, my name being out there for potential jobs, he just stands up and basically says, look, I want to be clear on where I stand. And he's talking about building a program, and he said all the right things up until that last part.
None of that changes by him accepting a different job. That doesn't make him a hypocrite. It doesn't make him a traitor. It doesn't make him anything that anybody else's emotions want it to be. What it does
if Kirby said this and left Georgia, people would lose their mind.
But again, there's
if
not,
he
there's,
said, cut me open, see
not
what
a,
I bleed.
The difference
took,
is.
And then he took the Auburn job. I'm just throwing it out there.
Right,
people would.
That's not a better job.
Well,
that's not a better job.
The
you
point
really think
is.
I'm going to answer that question.
Quiet, Kirby. The point is, people would kill him.
Again, different scenarios. I think I don't know that that's there's.
And by the way, what is a better job than Georgia right now? What is a better job? See, Kirby has made it the premier job in college football.
I mean,
when you talk about Notre Dame, those are different.
There's only
animals.
One or two other jobs out there that rival Georgia: Alabama, Notre Dame, and maybe one other program out there.
Yes, those are. And Notre Dame is in its own class because of the history and
right.
the lineage. But the point
and the
is
endless amount of funds that are funneled
correct.
Into donors.
It doesn't matter. And I just feel like this is one of those things. I'm all for Brent Key. I hope he stays.
Listen, I hope he does too. But if he leaves, I'm not going to
hypocrite.
No. You're not gonna do that. It's not fair. It's
hypocrite.
Unfair. It's unfair. You're
I want to see him
right
bleed.
Now. You can see him bleed.
I want to see him.
You know what? He could cover all the wounds with $100 bills because they all look good on top of wounds.
What do you guys think about this? This is what we were talking about. See, when we started the show, this is what you dove into. You heard us talking behind the scenes. 404-726-0929.
I'm surprised again that Georgia Tech hasn't put together an offer yet to extend him.
We hadn't proven it. He hadn't proven it.
But no. As of when Rhett Lashley got his, Matt Rhule got a 2-year extension. Nebraska still hasn't beaten a top 25 team. Like all these schools, Cignetti got, as soon as jobs started coming open, they're like, you know what, we better give him the money now.
Yeah.
End the conversation. Give him the money now.
But Cignetti was in the playoff last year. Brent hasn't been here.
I get it. But the point is that, you know, it's the same thing we say about all player contracts. Timing is everything. You better do this now. Before the regular season ends, or you know, or before that last kind of final college football playoff rankings come out, because if Georgia Tech ain't in it, there's going to be, you know, loose women being thrown through his bedroom window. Come get him! Like that's the level of offers that are coming.
We're live at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram, guys. Big O, I want you to play this again because it's one of my all-time favorite movies. I watch it whenever I have a chance. It's long, but I love The Wolf of Wall Street. And in the moment where everybody thinks he's walking away.
Mm-hmm. I'm not leaving.
And he walks into that room and everybody's just, he's got everybody's attention. This is what Brent Key better be saying to his players and the program.
I'm not leaving.
I'm not leaving. When you say this, that's what you better be saying.
Yeah.
And I don't care what's on the table.
Difference is the Wolf of Wall Street was being federally indicted at the time, and there wasn't a better offer on the table. That's the thing, you guys.
It's a movie, Zito. Give me a break.
And by the way, too much Wolf, too much Wall Street. They could have cut that movie down by at least 40 minutes.
You know what? You sound like my partner right now. Suspension of disbelief. It's okay. It's a movie. I go in there.
I get it. But it's supposed to be based.
To be entertained.
It's supposed to be based in
okay?
fact.
You and Mike are very similar
if you last time anybody ever said that. If you ever want to make a comparison that's fair, okay, you have to look at a comparison where the offer is a step up, right? Not for The Wolf of Wall Street, not for Kirby. You know, these are offers that are steps up, major, massive steps up.
Is it, though, in this day and age of college
LSU,
football?
LSU, Penn State, yeah, these are
when has Penn State been relevant?
Every year.
When? What have they won?
No. There's a difference between relevance and what have they won.
What
they're relevant every
they
year.
They won.
Not since Joe Paterno was around.
Then
and before bad things
relevant.
Were going on.
It's not relevant.
No,
a
that's
better
not
job.
True. That's not true. That's not true. Relevance and winning are two different things.
How?
Because again, would you like to be the Miami Marlins and win one World Series and then stink for two decades?
Well, they didn't invest. That's
being relevant. Being relevant every year is being the Ravens when you're in the postseason and making a run at a Super Bowl every year. That's relevance.
You know what? We're coming back to this. But before we do, we got to talk to Jalen Johnson. Give me more JJ. Hawks forward, Jalen Johnson joins us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The
Game. I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Game. Want to get Jalen Johnson on the line. Give me more JJ. Jalen, man, what's going on? How you doing?
What's good, y'all? How you doing?
Man, we are good. Brother, I want to ask you first before we get into this season and all that's been going on. Got a good win the other night against Orlando. Hawks are back in action tomorrow against Toronto. Then the Lakers come in. It's a back-to-back Friday and Saturday at State Farm Arena. The injury last year, I was at the game. I was calling the game, and when you left, everybody's like, well, that looked weird, but we didn't think it was that serious. The recovery, man, yeah. and all that you had to do to get back to being where you want to be. Talk a little bit about that because you're playing really well. You're averaging 20 a game, I think 9 boards right now early in the season. Talk about the recovery process and then the rehab for you to get back.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, getting hurt last year and around that time, it was definitely heartbreaking and it's just kind of like very discouraging. But having great teammates and a great support system with my teammates, coaches, fans, everybody, like, love and support, like, made the road to recovery, like, it just upped my motivation so much and allowed me to enjoy the journey and just take things one day at a time. And that was just kind of my mindset this summer and not rushing anything back and just making sure I'm in a good space going into the season. And that's what was done.
Jalen, as far as this year goes, obviously the absence of Trae Young for the next couple of weeks is going to be, you know, making the team a little bit different. I guess more than on the court, how do you fill the leadership void that Trae has, and is that a role that you're willing to accept and try to take on more of?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, we got a great group of guys that communicate well with each other. So I think that's like, I think everybody's a leader in their own way. Some may lead by more vocal, some may be leading by example, but we got a great group of guys that are. We're all together, so I think if we just stay together while Trae is out, and obviously once Trae gets back, that's going to help a lot of things. So we just got to be able to hold it down until then. So yeah.
Jalen, I heard stories this offseason about some of the places you were at, some of the people you were working out with. True or false? You were out there in L.A. working out with LeBron a little bit. Who else were you working out with?
Yeah, I worked out with LeBron quite a bit this summer. It was a lot of guys, to be honest with you. There was a variety of guys that I was in the gym with, whether it was an open run or individual workout. My trainer, Chris Johnson, he brings a wide variety of very, very good players into his gym in the summer. So just having the chance to work out with numerous people, I think, helped me, you know, especially while I was recovering from my shoulder, like, just kind of helped me prepare in that sense. But it's always a blessing sharing the gym with those kind of guys.
Did you pick up anything? Did you learn anything, like, from the OGs? And then it looked like you were in the weight room, man. You looked all buff and cut up in some of these videos you were posting.
Yeah, man. It was definitely a summer that I wanted. Main focus was getting stronger. But to your question about what did I learn from some of the older guys, such as Bron, like, I mean, it's just really embracing the journey, not getting caught up in all the outside noise, other people's expectations, or you know, just all the outside factors that a lot of times, you know, athletes let creep in. And that's normal. That's the human side. But just having a strong mental and having a good support system, I think allows you to really embrace the journey and just take things day by day, man. You really can't control the future. You can control your 24 hours, what you're going to do in that time. So that was just kind of my focus. That's kind of what I learned from him, just seeing how well he prepares, how well he trains his body, his diet, just getting a chance to see all that up close and personal, I think was huge for me, and I definitely took a lot from him.
Hawks forward Jalen Johnson joining us here on Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Over the last 3 years, your numbers, your production have elevated all across the board. What part of your game do you look at that has, you know, been the biggest improvement, and where do you feel like you still need the most improvement?
I think the biggest improvement is just maturity. I think just the more you're playing in games. I didn't play a lot of games in college, so I kind of – there's a little setback there. But just allowing me to adapt to the game, I think I just gotten more comfortable throughout the years. And I think that's a huge factor, especially when you're playing in a league like the NBA. You just got to be comfortable being out there. You don't want to overthink, because oftentimes really overthink you create more mistakes, and that just is kind of a domino effect in that sense. But as far as stuff I can improve on, it's everything, man. I really enjoy just chasing like getting better. I love that feeling of knowing I'm getting better, and I love the fact that I'm not perfect at everything. So I think that's just the mindset that I'm going to continue to have, is just continue to get better every single day. Listen to my coaches, watch film, and whatever they see. And then, you know, we kind of talk and go from there.
Hawks in action tomorrow, guys, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, taking on Toronto. Then the Lakers come into town. Jalen, what is Quinn telling you? What is Coach preaching to you this season?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Quinn just wants me to be myself. He enables me to play my game, and I think that's one of the biggest blessings from a coach, is just kind of having that freedom to play your game and play within the system that you're in, and allow you to make decisions. And I think that's been huge. He tells me to make quick decisions. That's been a key thing since he's been in Atlanta. So I think just having that type of confidence and from your coach is huge.
When you talk about Quinn Snyder, year three of him, the continuity that's gone on as your development goes on, you know, how is the continuity of Quinn being there helped elevate you personally, but also the team?
I mean, Quinn's just he's a great coach, man. Like, he connects with all of his players on a deeper level than just basketball. So I think that's huge. And when guys get here, like our new guys, I know they felt that right away. Like, Quinn cares about you as a human, more importantly. So I think just having that type of connection with your coach and understanding that it's bigger than basketball, I think that only translates to good things on the court. So Quinn's been great.
Jalen Johnson, our guest, guys. Hawks getting ready for a couple of games at home. I got to ask you about this Desmond Bain incident the other night, man. I got to be honest, JJ. I didn't like it one bit. I don't know, you know, what the deal was, but did you think that was a dirty play on behalf of Bain? He said it was a hard foul, obviously, on Double O, on Yeke Okongwu. But the way it just looked visually, it was one of those things, man, like, okay, what is going on here?
Yeah, I mean – It's kind of funny you say that because in the moment, I just thought it was a hard foul because I threw the pass up ahead to O, and I just thought it was going to be, you know, just kind of a wrap a guy up and not let him get the shot off. But I saw kind of Mo get kind of animated at the end, so I assumed there was something more. I didn't really see what actually happened until after the game, and then I was like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was excessive, like, I'm pretty sure, like, if majority of you guys saw that, they would have went to go stick up for O. But sometimes those type of plays happen, and I know there was no ill intention at the end of the day. But I'm glad O was okay at the end of the day, and it didn't lead to something bigger than what it was.
Yeah, I'm not an advocate for violence, Jay, but I will tell you, I was like, yo, come on, let's do something. Yeah. Talk to us about N'Keal, man. He's been such a big positive for this team. N'Keal Alexander-Walker, he's also averaging about 17 a game so far this season. Talk about playing with him and his vibe.
N'Keal's great, man. He's just he's an extremely hard worker. He's extremely humble. He's somebody that comes into the gym every day just wanting to learn, wanting to figure out ways that we can be better. Not only just individually amongst ourselves, but just as a unit, how we can make things work better right now. Just with Trey being out, he's been in constant communication with all the guys. He's texting the group chat all the time. So N'Keal's been great. He's been great to have in Atlanta, and I'm excited to keep building with him.
No doubt. Well, man, we wish you the best in these next couple of games and throughout the season. By the way, you wearing different shoes with these ankle sprains? What are you doing, man?
Yeah. I've changed to some Kyrie's.
Okay.
It's just kind of a work in progress. You know, there's not a lot of shoes that are made like how they used to be back in the day, super high top. But trust me, I'm figuring that out, and I'm in a shoe right now that I'm pretty comfortable in. So just gonna keep just doing my work on that.
Jalen, we appreciate you, man. Keep killing it. Keep dunking on people. And we thoroughly enjoy watching you night in and night out, man. Good luck tomorrow and certainly Saturday, and we'll talk soon.
No, thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Jalen Johnson here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I talk about it all the time. The core, and this is no disrespect to Trey because Trey's an established star in this league, but the core of this team is Jalen, it is Dyson Daniels, and it is Zachary Richache. Those three guys are under the age of 25, and those three guys, when you talk about the core and the makeup of this team, it's only going to go as far as those three guys and how good they become together. Then you add, you know, N'Keal in and Porzingis and all these other things. Kennard, you start feeling like really good. I think it took a minute for them to find their stride. You know, they didn't win the first few games. I think they were 1-3 in those first few games. And then, you know, you look at the last few games, and all of a sudden now, even without Trey, they've not only been competitive, but I also think they're kind of finding their stride as to how we need to win without Trey on the floor. I'm going to tell you, Hawks fans, something. This may help us down the road at the end of the season when Trey's coming out of games and you don't have to search for how we need to play. You've got about 4 to maybe 5 weeks to figure that out. And you could keep your head afloat, man. We'll be in good shape. All right, we got plenty more to get to here on the show. Again, we're live, 5380 Windy Bagwell Parkway at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram. Come on out and join us, man. We'll be here until 6. Mark's in for Mike today. We're coming back. We'll get to the Daily Download. A lot of breaking news happening that we need to fill you in on. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Big shout out to Jalen Johnson. Give me more JJ. Hope he balls out over the next couple of games against Toronto and the Lakers. Interesting stuff from him and talking about being around LeBron and just trying to learn about being, you know, measured every day. LeBron's done it for a long time. He's around a bunch of vets this offseason. Go listen to the interview if you missed it. It's online at odyssey.com. Again, we are at Buffalo's Cafe. Zeno is in for Mike today. Coming up, we got a lot more to dive into here on the show, including Atlanta United bringing back a very familiar face. And coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Chris Henderson, chief. He is the chief officer scouting director for Atlanta United. And we're going to get a chance to talk to him coming up here on the show. I'm curious, you know, again, he has a relationship with Tata Martino. We loved Tata when he was here. mentioned this at the end of the show yesterday up at Flowery Branch, and I've always said sometimes, you know, people do these things. Teams do this. Can you go back home again? You know, you had monster success here. Tata was loved. I don't think anybody is going to say, oh, we don't want Tata, but different circumstances. And I'm curious to see if he can turn this thing around. Atlanta United's coming off of one of its worst seasons. What's up, Z?
I have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
Does this feel eerily similar to to other hires that we've seen from the same organization at the top?
Are you talking about Falcons?
I mean, you know, there is a certain myopic and insular nature to which decisions are made like this at the highest levels of the organization, where it has to be somebody connected to the franchise. It has to be somebody who's known by the franchise. It has to be somebody who has some sort of tie to the people in power making the decision. They went back to a guy that they already had. Now, granted, he had success. I'm not saying that he didn't.
Sure.
But when do we ever go outside the box and find somebody new? Isn't the same person who made that decision, who's in charge of Atlanta United, the same guy who used to be in charge of the Falcons, theoretically, who's not still in charge of the Falcons, but is still in charge of the Falcons?
Yes. But okay. I would tell you
from, I'm just asking a question.
No, it's fair. Look, I would tell you from Gonzalo Pineda to Heinze, we're talking about all these managers. Frank DeBoer came here. Atlanta United tried to do different things after Tata left and won that, you know, that MLS Cup. But all the guys that came in after him were unable. DeBoer was close, but close only matters in horseshoes. So he didn't get us back to the promised land. We didn't win, you know, MLS Cup again. But Gabriel Heinze and Stephen Glass, all these guys, Pineda came in. None of it really worked the way we thought it might. It's not as if they haven't tried a different approach. So I do think from that organization standpoint, and that I think is prior to the gentleman that you were mentioning, Rich McKay, potentially being in charge of Atlanta United, or at least, you know, being with that franchise, and I don't know about the day-to-day. We know he's involved. And to what degree, I'm not going to sit here and tell you because I don't want to speak for Rich. One day we'll get a chance to see and have him chop that up with us. But at the end of the day, I feel like Atlanta United has tried to go different routes. It just hasn't worked. So they're going to bring back Tata. We'll talk
right. Like when you tried to go a different route with Dan Quinn and Arthur Smith, it didn't work. You went back to a known commodity.
I don't know.
Same, or different?
Maybe. I mean, okay. I don't know.
I'm just
know.
Looking objectively at the facts. That's all I'm saying.
Well, look, I'll tell you this, and it's funny you bring this up because later
if
in the
I
show,
connect the dots, yeah, I was good at connect the dots as a kid. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If I connect all the dots here, they look eerily similar.
Okay. You bring this up, and we're going to talk about whether you think Raheem Morris is a good coach or not. And I'm going to give you some criteria, okay? Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with Sunday. This just has to do with looking at his games here so far and the criteria I'm going to lay out for you. Because you bring this up, talking about does this look eerily similar to, you know, another franchise? Obviously, you're talking about the Falcons. By the way, the Falcons have gone and left for Germany. They are on their way. I don't know if they left already, but they are on.
Did they stop to get gas?
They're on their way today. And
maybe,
Rob mentioned
maybe
to
some bugles or Funyuns, you know, for a little snack on the road.
Well, look, I think they're going to have plenty of snacks. He mentioned to us yesterday about going and trying to figure out the timing of this trip. Do you go early? Do you go for just a few days? The sleep patterns and all this stuff. We talked about it this morning on our pre-show, our Behind the Curtain show with Day-Day and I. We were talking about, you know, what Rob was telling us. I don't know if there's a rhyme or reason to it, by the way. Get there early, stay longer. I don't know. All I know is you got a game Sunday. When you hit the grass, football's football. And you're either going to be ready or you're not. You're either going to execute or you're not.
When did we stop saying field instead of grass? When did we stop saying grass instead of field? He does that a lot. The grass thing is a little bit weird.
Well, it is the grass.
I get it. I mean, but sometimes you play on turf and it's not grass.
Yeah, but
just say the field.
But grass was turf before turf
just
was turf.
Just say field. When we hit the field.
Huh?
When we hit the grass. When we hit the field.
It's grass. It's going to be grass in Germany.
I can tell you the grass thing bothers the fans, and I do understand that.
Why? It's grass.
Because they're fans and they're picky.
Did you grow up playing football? We went out and played on grass.
I played my high school was on turf, like old school turf.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you had money. I mean, what are we saying?
I'm just saying.
There are a lot of school districts now that have turf, but for the most part.
No, where's old school AstroTurf? That was cheaper than grass.
Well, that's true. It was.
You were playing on cement.
It was like cement. That's right. Schools used to say, we got AstroTurf. Yeah, it was like, whatever.
Well, I was fortunate enough that my high school was actually my home field was a university's home field.
Oh, like, okay.
Grew up on Long Island. I went to Kellenberg right next to the Hofstra University back when they had a football program.
So you guys played on that field?
We played on that. That was our home field.
That's cool.
And that was AstroTurf, the old AstroTurf, not the field turf.
Dede, you do all the high school stuff. You played on grass, did you not?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now here in Georgia, I mean, you go to South Georgia, a lot of those schools still use grass, but throughout the metro, majority of them have converted to turf.
Well, and the reason simple is, the reason why for that, by the way, is cost.
Yeah.
It's hard to maintain this grass and the level of energy that goes into making sure that you can keep these fields up, you know, upright the way they need to. You lay this thing down, it's done.
It's done. Especially, you know, with high school, you've got the multiple sports utilizing the one field. So, And now you're actually starting to see some of these baseball programs, high school-wise, started going to turf fields.
That's annoying. Baseball is 100% meant to be played on grass. 100%.
Well, it's the rubber
field. On the grass?
I take that back. They're actually kind of rubber.
But again, they don't say take the grass. Hey, time to take the grass. No, take the field. Oh. You take the field. It's a field.
All right.
See, it's like in soccer. We have to call it a pitch.
It's a field. We're right here. We're riding, and then detour. You see what you do?
Sorry.
It's fine.
I'll sit in the corner over here now.
404-726-0929. Come on out and hang out with this guy's Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram. A couple of things we got to get to. 4 o'clock, we will talk about what's going on around the NFL. Tragic, tragic story today in the NFL. And look, if you watch football, you just saw him. He just made a play the other night when the Cowboys played. And if you've not heard, we'll fill you in on what we know about this. Before we get there, though, we got to get to the Daily Download. The biggest challenge for the Falcons this weekend is stopping Jonathan Taylor. If we don't, we lose. I guarantee it. If we don't put a clamp on this guy, it's going to be a long morning for us and a long afternoon for them in Germany. Jonathan Taylor may be right now the best back in football. Now, I think in our building, and I'm talking about Bijan Robinson.
He's the most productive back in football.
He's the most productive. Bijan has, I think, more upside and more talent.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
But he ain't doing what Jonathan Taylor's doing. And part of that is that offensive line. Guys, I think that is the biggest challenge today. I'm talking about it. I'll talk about it more tomorrow. Taylor's numbers speak for themselves. And I think going into this game, you say, well, we got to score points. We got to score in the red zone and all this stuff we've been talking about, Zeno. I think we got to stop the run.
It's every defensive coordinator worth their salt will say that's the first thing we got to do. Make the team one-dimensional. Stop the run. I mean, at this point, he's their best weapon. No disrespect to Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, and Tyler Warren, everybody else running around out there. But, you know, if you're forcing Daniel Jones to beat you, that's the best formula to do so. The Pittsburgh Steelers did it last week. They kept Jonathan Taylor on lockdown. What happened? Daniel Jones throws 3 picks. They're in the bag for Daniel Jones. Trust me, there's plenty of interceptions in his bag. I've seen it personally. I've watched a lot of it. But if you give him time and Jonathan Taylor has room to run, Daniel Jones' life gets a whole lot easier. Linebackers have to freeze. Guys have to play up tighter. You can't be in as much. Or if you sit in the zone, you're doing him a favor too. Like, you're not forcing him to beat you. So I think if we'll know very early on in this game, set the tone from the beginning if you're the Falcons defense. Sell out to stop the run. Mm. Force Daniel Jones to beat you, even at the risk of getting in a hole early. I wouldn't disagree with that philosophically for this defense, which is sell out to stop the run early. And if you can do it successfully. And Daniel Jones isn't sharp or misses here and there or a ball gets deflected or whatever, could turn the game in the Falcons' favor early.
I agree. More on the Falcons coming up throughout the course of the show, obviously in our Falcon Report. And we will talk about, do you think Raheem Morris is a good coach? It is not too early to start judging what has been on the table for us so far. Meanwhile, the Braves reportedly looking to be a top 5 payroll team. Terry McGuirk, the chairman of the team, said, quote, as I've stated in the past, our goal is to be in the top 5 salary team or to be a top 5 salary team. Does that matter, Zeno? Because free agency starts. We just had Alex Anthopoulos on the show the other day. He talked about some of the things that they want to do, things that they're focused in on. being in the top five, and I've always said this, and Mike and I go back and forth on this argument, because he has always felt like the Braves have not spent accordingly the way that they should. My thing is, even when teams go all out, Mets, it doesn't mean that you win the World Series. You still have to go get the right guys. But does it matter to you that the Braves are stating they want to be a top five payroll team?
I mean, why does that make anybody feel any better?
Because it feels like you're spending the money on players to make our team better.
Okay.
If we need pitching, for example, and we need to go get two starters, hypothetically. I don't think it's hypothetical. I do think we need two starters. They probably think differently because of all the injured guys that are coming back. You're going to have to spend $150 to $200 million to go do that.
So
if they don't, then you're not doing your job by spending the money you need to bring the players in.
Okay, inside the top five biggest spending teams in baseball, Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, Phillies, and I forget who the fifth one is, but Dodgers, Yankees, Mets.
Could be Toronto now, by the way.
What is their spending netted them?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, like go after free agents that make your team better. I'm not saying don't, but the point simply is that like that's something that I think you're focusing on the wrong things. If you're not spending it wisely, you know, and you're not spending it the right way. Sorry, it was the Cubs' fifth. That's what I would have said. Yeah, which is shocking because they don't win either. I mean, so only one of the teams within the top five has won two World Series in the last 10 years. And they've all been there repeatedly. So if that makes fans feel better, I don't know what is going to make you feel better about anything less than winning a World Series.
Look, it does make us feel better because we feel like they're vested. Look, we're not.
But they're
the
in
Pirates.
The top. They're in the top 10.
Correct. But
so, like, how much more vested
Pirates,
do you need to be?
But if you were the Pirates, you'd be complaining. That's my point. If you're not spending accordingly, and certainly based on the revenue that our team makes, that becomes the issue for fans.
So what's the difference between spending the seventh most and the fourth most?
Who's on your team?
Pull it up again, Danny.
Who's on your team? That's the difference.
Well, all right, I understand that. But, like, if the fourth doesn't net you a World Series and the seventh doesn't net you a World Series, what's the difference?
Well, we weren't the number one payroll when we won it in 21.
Right. So I'm not sure why that's a point of contention for fans. And I'm just trying to see the difference here.
Here's the argument. And this is what I do agree with, Michael. When you go to the Battery and you see all the things that are going on at the Battery and you know that everybody is paying rent to the Braves and you see the amount of revenue that our team makes, it's disturbing to think that that is not being reinvested into the team. And so from a fan's perspective, you're going, hey, I support the team. We do the merch. We do all the things. We go to the Battery. Like, let's go get some of these guys that we think are going to make our team and make it a difference maker. And when they don't do that, it's a little bit insulting to the fans because the money is there.
Okay, but as of right now, okay, for 2026, what's allocated to the books, the Braves are fourth in payroll. They're ahead of the Yankees, for crying out loud. They're ahead of the Phillies.
This is all because of the escalating salaries.
Right.
All those guys that you signed 4 years ago.
Okay.
Yes.
But so saying that you haven't spent the money is false. You have spent the money. I don't know why that matters. I mean, I've been a fan of a team that spent more money than anybody in the last 20 years, and they got one World Series to show for it. Like, if you don't get the right people, it doesn't matter. Perfect example, part of what the Yankees are spending money on is Giancarlo Stanton to play 70 games a year. Like, what?
Bum.
I mean, the point simply is that, like, those two things are not directly correlated to winning a title. I mean.
But they are. Because only the high payroll teams, you just talked about the five, they all had a shot this year.
Okay, well then, but that's a different conversation you're having. If you're asking to say spend money so you have a shot, or spend money to win, we know we're going to have a shot. If everyone's healthy, the Braves will have a shot. That's different than spend money to win a World Series. I mean, when they won the World Series, it was a Jock Peterson trade. You know, it was A.J. Minter. These guys weren't high-dollar, high-value guys. They just weren't. I mean, you know.
Don't disrespect Soler like that.
Oh, I forgot about Jorge Soler. I mean, yeah. That ball still hasn't landed yet. But the point simply, I think your focus is in the wrong spot. Address the pitching as best you can, right? Spend the money to do something as opposed to do nothing and hope the money that you spend works out the right way. But getting hung up on where they are in team payroll, I think, is a useless argument.
It's an argument a lot of Braves fans have. We want the best. All right, when we come back, what happened with ESPN and Penn? Are you familiar with this? We will also tell you about a tragic story that the NFL right now, everybody is going, what happened. We'll fill in the blanks for you. Stay there. We're live at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram. Guys, it's Dukes and Bell.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.